بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
So we are here at the mosque open house in the MAB Masjid. Alhamdulillah, many of our fellow brothers, sisters, they came. One of them is Sister Laura. I want to get like a quick take-home message of what she felt coming to the mosque.
Well, when I got here, I've been curious because I live in the neighborhood. But I was curious and I had questions and I just wanted to see how the Islam religion worked. And right now, after coming out of the prayer area, I'm feeling a little emotional. And it's a good emotion, though.
Thank you for this. It's always, again, very hospitable. The food, the decor is a wonderful thing, and we want to see you continue to grow.
So I'll do the English translation now. Say, praise belongs to Allah, and peace be on those of His servants whom He has chosen. Is Allah better, or that which they associate with Him as His partners?
Good citizen, good Samaritan works multiple times for his creativity and outreach in what he does. So with that, Dr. Sabila.
And with this being said, village officials like ourselves coming to these events is vital. It's important for us to learn and understand, because then we can pass the message within the community as well. So we do appreciate your hospitality today. I definitely will mirror Trustee Watts in that comment. It's always a pleasure to come to the mosque here. We always learn something new.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Sister Asma, and I'm one of the volunteers with Gang Peace here with Brother Sabil. Alhamdulillah, we had a great turnout. We had guests from different faith, and one of our guests, Laura, I connected with her when she walked in at the Islamic artifact table. And, you know, the program went well. She had great input, great questions. And in the prayer hall, she witnessed the salah, and she came out. I was walking her out to give her a gift bag, and she said there was so much peace in the mosque.
Experience with the video. Can you please speak on this?
Yeah.
Oh. The video was wonderful. So lifelike. It made me feel like I was almost there. It made me want to be able to view it again.
Mm-hmm.
It gave me a lot of information, things that I didn't know.
Yes, and like what, for example?
Well, I didn't know that all the freedoms that it talked about for women, for Islam, I wasn't aware of that. Or everybody the same, different races. And freedoms for everybody, getting rid of slavery. I wasn't aware of all of that.
Yes.
So I enjoyed it 110%.
110%, wow.
110%.
The new boards, I was reading it, and I noticed that were there were some new ones there. And yes, it's educational. People, you know, learn in different levels. Some learn by listening, some learn by reading. And it's very interesting because you can learn at your own experience or at your own time frame. So It's a very vital asset to the community.
And we want to get like a quick feedback, like a take-home message from you, sister. You came here many times. And what would you say? Because we want to replicate the same thing in many cities and many mosques and churches and synagogues. End of the day, building bridges. What's your feedback?
Most definitely. I do think that building bridges between all communities is vital, especially in today's world, with all of the stresses and the pressures that we have going on now. As I had spoken before, it's very important that we invest in our youth and instill in them the importance of passion and love and sharing with one another who we are and lifting each other up. And in order for us to be able to do that, we ourselves as adults must do that. We have to show the compassion and show the love and look out for one another and support each other and look for the positives. The youth are the future of tomorrow. And it's very, very, very important that we do invest time and energy into them and show them the positives and lift them up.
I have three children. Exactly, I would say the same thing because there are so many concerns as parents because of so much chaos in the society, right? The gun violence, the breakdown of the family structure, the drug abuse, the gambling. There are so many ills. So we need to make sure that us as parents, as community leaders, as you as a mayor, right, bigger responsibility. Along with that, as Brother Amir may have mentioned, there are so many maybe misconceptions we may have about each other's faith and nation, you know, our cultures and backgrounds. So it creates fear of the unknown. And fear of the unknown creates barriers between the communities and faiths. So one of the reasons we are here today as brothers and sisters is to make sure by knowing about each other, especially the Islamic faith that has been demonized so much. So when people learn about Islam also along with other faiths, they may realize that Islam is not what the media is showing. It's not a faith which is a threat to the society. It's a faith which is a blessing to the society. So when you see the Muslims pray, anything unique that you found, the way that we pray?
It is, it's a powerful feeling that I feel in the prayer. I've seen the prayer. It's a very united prayer.
Very united because people stand shoulder to shoulder, doing the same motions, praying to God. So you may have seen in the mosque, there is no depiction, there is no symbol, there is no depiction of any prophet, any human. Because when we pray directly to God.
Yes.
No mediator, right?
Yes. And maybe that's the emotion and the intimacy there. Yeah. Maybe that's the emotion and the intimacy that I'm feeling because in what I was raised, there's a picture and an image. And I'm coming to learn and to understand that an intimate relationship and an image are totally two different things.
Exactly. Because do you agree that God is all-knowing and God is all-hearing, right?
I do agree with that.
So that means, you know, we don't have to go through any person, any mediator, any saint, dead or alive. We can directly converse with God, directly pray to God. And that's how, you know, all the prophets and the messengers, they have taught us.
Absolutely.
So you have been part of the presentation that we had. What did you learn from it? Anything unique that you want to share with us?
God first.
Very good.
Number one.
Yes.
You know, I
it
know
should
this,
be number one.
It's just different, you know.
Were you able to understand that we believe in the absolute oneness of God? We don't take Jesus to be God, Son of God, or divine, because we say that he was flesh and blood. He used to go around, share the message of God. You know, in fact, you're coming from what, Christian background?
Yes, and that is something that I did learn today. My belief is Jesus is the Son of God. That's what I was taught, and that he is a prophet, but I never... It's just learning. Mm-hmm. You know, different beliefs and how the order of things work. It's very interesting.
So that concept, Sister Laura, the concept of Son of God, even in the Bible, it's a figure of speech. It's a figurative concept. It's not to be taken as literal because God does not need sons and daughters. You know, suppose if God has a son, that's kind of discrimination. Why not a daughter, right?
Yes.
Why prefer sons? But God does not need any family, like parents. God does not have any parents and uncles and aunts and sons and daughters. God is one. God is unique. We need family. God does not.
Yes, absolutely.
Second thing is that the Son of God is a figure of speech. It's a metaphorical way, not in a literal way, because other people in the Bible, they're also referred to as Son of God or Sons of God. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
You are, right? Like David... In the Old Testament, in Psalms chapter 2, verse number 7, it says that David is the begotten son of God. Jacob is the son of God. Adam is the son of God, like in Luke chapter 3, verse 38. So all of these should be taken in a, as a figure of speech, not in a literal way. According to the Eastern Bible Dictionary, when you search up Son of God, it says someone who is a righteous person. So back in those days, righteous people, pious people, they used to be labeled as Son of God or Sons of God, right? Even peacemakers.
Yes.
So it should be taken in that way, because even in the Bible, Jesus' message was to invite people to only submit to one God. He never said, you know, I am God, worship me. He was directing people to worship one God. So what happened in history, Sister Laura, is that God gave special miracles to Jesus. And he gave special miracles to Moses and Abraham, all the prophets. So some people, when they saw Jesus performing miracles, what they thought by mistake is that maybe he's more than a man. Maybe he's a divine, he's Son of God. But Jesus never said all of those things. He was only a messenger, a prophet. And so once people deviated from the message of monotheism, that God appointed Muhammad, peace be upon him, as the final prophet to bring these people back again, to let them know who God is, who Jesus was as a mighty messenger. Right? So when we take it in that way, so God sent the final revelation with the final guidance, the Quran and Islam, to all of humanity, to bring people back again to the right concept of God, the way that every messenger, every prophet used to worship. Make sense to you, Sister Laura?
It does. It's very interesting, and I've enjoyed my visit, and I'm really glad that I came.
So again, appreciate all of you coming over here. Come back again. Thanks for all the services that you guys are giving. May God guide and bless all of us.
For sure. Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Take care.
Take care, Chief.